Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move through the Word of God. I cannot believe we are on the second day of a new month and the second day of a new chapter. So grateful, thankful that God has given us another opportunity for another day. Somebody didn't wake up this morning. And we pray for God, that they were saved. So let us pray and get into our word, because it is a great word. I got to tell you, it's a great word. Father God in heaven, thank you, thank you, thank you for your wonderful word, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to read and teach your word, Lord God, to be a part of this body of Christ, all one with you. And I thank you this day that you made, Lord God, that you gave us an opportunity for a do-over. Lord God, let this day be better than yesterday. And Lord God, may your blessings overflow. May your heart and your may our hearts, our minds, and our spirit be stayed on you to be in perfect peace, Lord God. I ask you, Father, as always, to increase as I decrease, and to let this word, the words of my humble heart, and the words of my mouth and my humble heart be acceptable in your sight, Father. For you are my strength and my redeemer. And Lord God, cannot do this without you. I pray for discernment, and Lord, I pray that the words that I speak, that they be of you and not of flesh. Remove all flesh, Lord God, and replace it with your spirit, that you speak to me to tell your people what you want them to hear. Not what I want them to hear, but what you want them to hear, Father God. For I am your humble servant, ready to be used by you today and always, Father God. I thank you. I praise you. I give you honor and glory. And hallelujah, the highest praise. For Lord, I am blessed to be your daughter. And I thank you for allowing me to be your child. In the name of Christ Jesus, my Lord and Savior, my friend, my brother, standing in the gap for me with our Father, for dying for me on the cross, for allowing your body to be a sacrifice for all of us that have sinned. For your word says that we are one body under you, Father God, and under you, Christ Jesus. Let our body function well. Let us function well as children of God. United as one. Jesus, this I pray with my whole heart, Lord God. Help us to become a unified body with love, with thanksgiving, with grace and mercy and a pure heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And the word that God gave me this morning is coming out of the New Testament and out of our New Testament word in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I am so excited about tomorrow's word. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 13 because it is all about love. But today, it's all about unity. And the word that God gave me is, we are one body with many parts in Christ Jesus. And I say it again, we are one body with many parts in Christ Jesus. So many times we as men and women of God are so caught up in denominations and, well, I'm a Methodist, well, I'm a Catholic, well, I'm a Episcopalian, well, I'm a Presbyterian, well, I'm this and I'm that. We're not all of those things. We are one body in Christ. There's only one Lord. There's only one Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit in all of us, your beings, housed in this earthly body. But when we leave this body, we are reunited with God under one, which is Christ Jesus, who gave his life for you. He gave his life for me. And all the divisiveness in the church and churches have got to stop. We have allowed people to come into our pulpits and talk about things that are not of God, things that are not of God, and say things that are not of God. When a whole message is about politics and this and that and all of this stuff, and Jesus is not mentioned once. God is not mentioned once. The Holy Spirit is not mentioned once. Unity of the body is not mentioned at all, and the Word of God is not picked up. It's not where you need to be as men and women of God. If you go into a church and the Word of God is not opened except for to take a word out of context, to make it political, or to make devices, then it's not of God. God does not want all the confusion that we have. Why do we think God is creating all these natural disasters? All the turmoil is to try to unify the body of Christ, to pray, to give themselves away so God can use them. I pray for unity in the body of Christ. And I ask God to let us be united and not divided. Because what are the denominator? It divides, doesn't unify anything. We got to love God before we love anything and anybody. But what we just read just the other day, wife, husband, Christ, Father God. If there's no husband, then it's wife. Husband is Jesus Christ, Father God. There's only one God, only one Christ. And we are all united under one Christ through the Son, which means you need to be saved. So if salvation is not in your wheelhouse, you don't want to be saved. I don't believe in all that stuff. We hear it all the time. One of our former president's sons, gets on the television and says stuff like, well, you know, if there's a hell, then I guess that's where I'm going kind of thing. And I'm paraphrasing. That's not what he said exactly. But he says he's an atheist and doesn't mind being an atheist. You know, and I'm thinking, wow. How bold, you know, to say, I don't give a care about faith. I don't care about God because I don't believe in him. Not of God. That's not of God. It's not. And God is watching everything we do. How do you treat your fellow man? How do you treat your brothers and your sisters? How do you treat the people of God? Do you love him? Because he loves you. He loves us. He loves us. He loves us. I get all choked up. I get choked up when I think about the goodness of God. And then when I think about this man that I was speaking of, the son of a president, and he said this, unabashed atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. Wow. Unabashed atheist, not afraid of burning in hell. And all I have to say is this. When hell comes calling, don't call on God. As you just said, you don't give a care that you're not afraid of burning in hell. And for those out there that get all caught up, I was at the doctor and I was told by a nurse, she said, I'm sorry, I can't even say God bless you or have a blessed day because I'll get in trouble. Because I told her, I thanked her and told her to have a blessed day and that for God to bless her. And she looked at me and tears were in her eyes and she says, thank you. Because I can't say that to you. Because I'll get in trouble. Because atheists complain when we say God bless you or bless you. And so we can't say it so we don't offend the atheists. One body under Christ. We can't be afraid of offending to say God bless you. We can't be afraid of offending, standing up and say, I love Jesus. I love you more than anything, God. We can't be afraid as one body of Christ not to stand up for Jesus and tell hypocrites, you're a hypocrite. You stand here saying you love God, but hate your neighbor. We stand on the word of God. And we believe in the word of God. So don't be afraid to say God bless you. And if they don't want to accept the blessings of God, then that's on them. And so I prayed for my nurse. Because I don't want her to ever feel that she's alone. That there are many of us out here who love God and are not afraid to say, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord's light shine upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name. So I like to say, to the unabashed atheist, not afraid to burn in hell. Well, I'm an unabashed Christian, ready to give praise to Jesus Christ, who is my Lord and Savior. And I don't mind when my day comes to walk around heaven in peace. Hallelujah. Let's get in our word. That is my word for today. Just keep trusting God and don't be afraid to speak and say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And for those that are, you know, if you got a sensitivity to husband and marital relationships, Song of Solomon is not for you. It's a love word. It's a love chapter. It talks about intimacy between husband and wife. It talks about how to love and how a husband loves his wife. So, if this is not for you, then come back in about 10 minutes and we'll be in Psalms. So let's get into our word, our very intimate words, but beautiful words. And if you were not with us on yesterday, you know, we went into this word on Songs of Solomon. So this is just a overview for you in 10 words or less. Married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. And that is an overview of the Song of Solomon. And I say it again, married love is a beautiful thing worth celebrating. So let's get into the word. And it says, the Shulamite, chapter 3 of Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, whichever Bible you may have that has that title in it, but it's the Song of Solomon. It says, by night on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. I will rise now, I said, and go about the city, in the streets and in the squares. I will seek the one I love. I sought him, but I did not find him. The watchmen who go about the city found me. I said, have you seen the one I love? Scarcely had I passed by them. When I found the one I love, I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him to the house of my mother and into the chamber of her who conceived me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until it pleases. The Shulamite, who is this coming out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all the merchant's fragrant powders? Behold, it is Solomon's couch, with 60 valiant men around it, of the valiant of Israel. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man has his sword on his side, because of fear in the night. Of the wood of Lebanon, Solomon the king made himself a palanquin. He made its pillars of silver, its support of gold, its seat of purple, its interior paved with love. By the daughters of Jerusalem, go forth, O daughters of Zion, and see King Solomon with the crown with which his mother crowned him on the day of his wedding, the day of the gladness of his heart. The beloved, behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like a tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon, look from the top of Amana, from the top of Sinar and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards. And I want to go back to verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. Didn't say my girlfriend. Didn't say my side piece. Didn't say my man, my boyfriend, my thing down the street. It said my spouse. A love letter, husband and wife. This is not a love letter to just who and them and boo-boo them down the street. You are precious to God. Women and men are precious to God, and he made us to be husband and wife. Not boos and bows, unless your boo is your husband and your bae is your wife. To be married. He wants us to be friends with our spouses. So many times couples get in the bed before they get in to God. and then wonder why it doesn't work, because they're in a lust relationship and not a love relationship. A love relationship is until we part, until one of us dies. That's a love relationship. A lust relationship lasts about a minute and a half, and then it's divorce. Or there's anger and no trust in the relationship. We've got to love each other, and we have to be loved in love relationships and marital relationships, because then hearts are not broken, because you think this is the person that you're supposed to be married to, and then you're hurt because it was a lust relationship and not a love relationship. And this is as it goes on. It says, "You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You have ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse? How much better than wine is your love? And the scent of your perfumes than all spices. Your lips, oh, my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits. Fragrant henna with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and alloys. With all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living water, the streams from Lebanon. The Shulamite, awake, O north wind, and come, O south, blow upon my garden, that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits." Wow. Okay. That's a word, y'all. But I say that's a word that is a husband and wife word. I would say you want to spice up your marriage, read of Solomon. And as we go into life lessons, it says, "You have ravished my heart with one look at your eyes." Woo! Not only do husband and wives need to praise each other's good qualities, but in the best marriages, they also love to describe the wonderful ways they make each other feel. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. What a word. And as we continue in our life lessons, and again, for those that are just joining this moving forward experience, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible Biblical Principles for each day of the year. I'm coming out of New King James Version. And I tell you, if you can get this Bible, get it, because it is hard to find. If you see it, grab it, because when you try to order it, it is not always there. I've had one on order since March, and they said I might get it next week. March, do you hear me? I've had it since March, and I'm on order since March. So I say, if you can get this Bible, get it. And, you know, I will also give my disclaimer. I do not work for In Touch Ministries or for any organization that is Dr. Stanley's. I just happen to have been given this word by God to use, and I'm grateful. And it has uplifted my life, and I pray that it uplifts yours. This is my second time reading this word all the way through, and I am so ecstatic that we are in September. We started this Bible January 1st, and we are in September. We have been reading this word daily, except Saturdays, unless God said so. And we are on September 2nd. What an awesome God we serve. that he gives us a word like this, that we will finish this word, God willing, December 31st, with Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. Chapter 22, verse 21. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Amen. What a word. I'm excited. And I hope you continue to join me as we go through every word of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Because when you know the word, you can discern it when you have those sheep that are following after a wolf. And you realize that wolf is just like a shepherd, but he is nothing but a wolf ready to devour a congregation and to disrupt God and God's will in life. Because he's not about unifying the body of Christ. He's about destroying the body of Christ. So let's keep it moving. And this is what Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16 says, let my beloved come to his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. And this is what Dr. Stanley says. And it says, while sex is not the all-important prize our culture claims, it is a delightful and important part of any. Paul instructs, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. We read that about, I think, a couple weeks ago. But the fact of the matter is that marriage is made from God. God said man should not be alone and created woman for man from the rib of Adam. We each are a rib of an Adam. And maybe you went to the wrong Adam at some point in your life. And maybe God said, I'm going to give you to another Adam, because that rib that was made for him, he didn't accept. He didn't want, or it's no longer here or available. You know, we have to ask God, when you get married, don't get married for superficial reasons. Oh, he's cute. He's nice. He's got a good job. Does he love God? The first criteria, and I'm speaking to all the unmarried women out there, your first criteria for a husband is, does he love God? Because if he loves God with his whole heart, he can love you. And then it will be a death to us part relationship. Let's keep it moving. Psalms 104, chapter 104 of Psalms, if you want to go there with me. So Psalms chapter 104, verses 10 to 23 is what I'll be reading. And again, I am in New King James. And King James, my King James readers, you should be able to follow fairly easy. The only difference between King James and New King James is King James is a little harder to read for new readers of the Bible. So that's why God gave me New King James, which is for both King James readers and new readers. So you should be able to follow me without any problems, my King James readers. Psalms 104, verses 10 through 23. And it says this, he sends the springs into the valleys. They flow among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. By them the birds of the heavens have their home. They sing among the branches. He waters the hills from his upper chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of their works, the fruit of your works. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of your works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the vegetation for the service of man, that he may bring forth food from the earth and wine that makes glad the heart of man, all to make his face shine, and bread which strengthens man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he planted, where the birds make their nests. The stork has her home in the fir trees. The high hills are for the wild goats. The cliffs are a refuge for the rock badgers. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knows it's going down. You make a darkness and it is night, in which all the beasts of the forest creeps about. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. When the sun rises, they gather together and lie down in their dens. Man goes out to his work and to his labor until the evening. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 through 18. And this is a word that we all should think on. You know, it's so easy to vilify and to tear down and to talk about, but it's a lot harder to build up. And we can't ask for vengeance because vengeance is the Lord's. We got to have forgiveness, and we got to ask God to give us a heart that when our enemies fall, we don't rejoice in it. Because it's easy. You can stand certain people, and you're like, they sow. You know, we want to use the word of God, but we got to use it in the right way. And I'm just being honest. I've said it about folks. Mm-hmm. They reaping what they sowed. When you do dirt, you get dirt. But who am I? And I'm not going to say I'm perfect because God knows I'm not. But I have to go back, and that's why I love the word of God, because God brings to your remembrance his word. When you read it and you're like, okay, God, please forgive me for my horrible attitude. Please forgive me for the things that I've said and say. And the word of God tells us, do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles. Lest the Lord see it and it displeases him, and he turns away his wrath from him. Because the word of God, and I'm just going to go over to verse number 19. I know it's for tomorrow's word, so we'll read it again tomorrow. But I just want to go to that word just one more time, where it comes to in verse number 19. And it says this in verse number 19. I'm sorry, Proverbs 24, verse 19. I'm in the wrong place. So give me a minute, y'all, to get to the right scripture. Give me a moment. There we go. It says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the wicked, for there will be no prospect for the evil man. The lamp of the wicked will be put out. That's a word of God. And we're just going to go ahead and finish our Proverbs for the week, because it's nice to get this in context because it's so short. And Proverbs 24 and 21 says, my son, fear the Lord and the king. Do not associate with those given to change, for their calamity will rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin those two can bring. Calamity. Come on now. We got to not associate with folks that want to do wrong. Don't do it. Don't associate with folks wanting to do wrong. And it tells us continuously, it says, these things also bring to the wise. It is not good to show partiality in judgment. He who says to the wicked, you are righteous. Come on now. We see it every day. We see it every day. Played out on our television screens. We see it every day in communities divided on people and things and politics. where they are made right, wrong, and wrong, right. And it says, he who says to the wicked, you are righteous. Him the people will curse. Nations will abhor him. But those who rebuke the wicked will have the light, and a good blessing will come upon them. You got to tell the truth and shame that devil. So many times we want to just fall into the crowd because we don't want to cause any confusion. But wrong is wrong and right is right. And you got to speak the truth. Tell you something. Unlike Ron Reagan, I don't want to wind up in hell. I don't want to wind up in hell. I want to be in the heaven with Jesus. And so I ask God daily, Lord, remove flesh and put you in. Because I don't want to go to hell. I don't want anybody I know, anybody I love. I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. Because we know that a whole lot of folks who we think are going to be in heaven are going to be in hell. Because only God knows the heart of man. And now we get into our word for today, dealing with unity. Unity of the body of Christ. Unity of the church. Churches have been destroyed because of divisive spirits inside of it. We have got to pray for unity of the body. We all have been given special gifts. And what have we read in our word? The giver of gifts. And your gifts are irrevocable. Can't nobody take what God has given you. If you've been given discernment, you have discernment. If you've been given an ability to speak in tongues and to interpret, that is your gift, and can't nobody take it from you. If you have been given the gift of knowledge and prophecy, then you will have it, and can't nobody take it from you. If you've been given the gift to be a preacher, teacher, can't nobody take it from you, because your gifts from God are irrevocable. Irrevocable, meaning that contract, that cannot be taken from you, because what God gives, only God can take away. And I say, blessed be the name of the Lord God who created everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Get your word out. And again, if there's someone that is seeing something in their word that they would like to talk about, all you have to do is push the number 1 on your phone. And time permitting, your line will be open. So let's get into our word. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. This was Paul. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. For we know our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Jesus who is the Christ, is our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. And it says, these are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Praise the Lord. Through the Spirit, to another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith. Hallelujah. By the same Spirit. To another, gift of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To the another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. But the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? I'm going to read that again. And if they were all one member, everybody and I, where would the body be? I'm just saying, if everybody was a nose, where would the body be? If everybody was an ear, where would the body be? Oh, well, the whole body's just a hand. Where would the body be? Our foot, our leg, or our thigh, or is the chicken on our breast, or wing? Where would the body be if everything was one wing, one breast, one leg? And as the word says, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? I was speaking and preaching this morning. But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the foot or to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, these members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. There should be no schism in the body. God does not want divisiveness in the body of Christ, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Can't have jealousy in the body either. If one member is hurt, the whole body is hurt. If you have start getting cliques in your church, you know, this friend's with the pastor, so that's his clique. And then, you know, you have, well, this is the, we're all in the missionary society, so we all one clique. Well, we're all the willing workers in the evangelical side, and so we're all one clique. Well, you know, I work with the children, so I don't have nothing to do with the missionaries. I'm in the children's ministry clique. And so you have all these different bodies working against each other. Because if I'm in the children's ministry box clique, I can't be in the mission with the missionaries. I can't be with the evangelicals, even though maybe my calling may be to evangelize. I can't be with the evangelists. No. Even though I feel in my heart and I evangelize, I can't be with them. Because that's not my clique. Even though I've known the pastor and first lady since we were kids, you know, but we didn't like each other in high school, so, but I like them now. But I can't be in that clique because all the girls that's over there with the first lady, they was all her friends from high school. But, you know, you new to town, so you can't be in that clique. You got all that foolishness that goes on in the church. Or you have, oh, there's a woman pastor. Oh, no, I can't be a part of that. Because, you know, women shouldn't be in the pulpit. So I'm going to go over to the clique with, where the pastor's the man, between the man and the woman, because I'm telling the men, well, you know you should be pastor, and she should just be a first lady. She shouldn't be the pastor. So you have all these schisms and divisiveness within the body of God, and God is not pleased. We wonder why all of a sudden churches are dissolving left and right. Our ministries just can't keep it together. They are ministry today, gone tomorrow, then they come back. And they are ministry today, and then they gone again tomorrow. Then they come back. They are ministry today. And we're trying to figure out what is going on. Too much divisiveness within the body of Christ. God is not wanting us to be divisive. He's wanting us to be unified. And this is what the Word of God tells us. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now, you are the body speaking to all of us. We are the body of Christ. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healing, health, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? All workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healings? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire the best gifts? And yet I show you a more excellent way. God wants us to be one body. He wants us to love each other, to care about each other, to be members with each other. Because when you have a unified body, then a cancer can't come in because the antibodies will destroy it. So when you are a unified body, the enemy cannot come in because he will not be able to survive the love and the spirit of unity within that body. And this is what Dr. Stanley says in some life lessons, and it says this in 1 Corinthians 12:7, the manifestation of the spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. At the time they came to faith in Christ, every believer receives at least one spiritual gift, not merely to encourage and build up their own life of faith, but more particularly to build up the faith of the whole church. We got to have faith. 1 Corinthians 12:11, the same spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he will. Who's he? God. God distributes spiritual gifts as he sees fit. While a church can and should pray that it be granted the greatest gifts, 1 Corinthians 41:1, individual believers are never encouraged to request specific gifts. You know, you have folks that are covetous spirits because this person is a prophet or prophetess. But that's a gift I wish I could be a prophet or a prophetess. I'm going to call myself a prophet or a prophetess. Well, you know, I'm a prophetess. What have you prophesied? Is that your gift, or are you craving somebody else's gift? You have folks miserable in the church because they have covetous spirits. They want to have the gift of prophecy because it sounds good to be a prophet or prophetess. If that's not your gift, back up. Because your gift may be knowledge, but that doesn't make you a prophet or a prophetess. You may have wisdom, but that doesn't make you the pastor of the church. You know, we have each got a gift. Some of us love to talk, and that's why God gave us the gift of communication and teach. But we have got to come together as a unified body within our churches, because if we do not, the enemy is coming in, taking a seat, and dividing like crazy. And then the next thing you know, that church is no longer in existence, being there 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, because they allowed dysfunction and the enemy to slither in, the sneaky snake that he is. Because let me tell you this, and then I'm get off the subject, but just say this. You know, everybody that gets a degree in theology does not mean that they love God. Does not mean that they are Christian. That means they have a piece of paper. Because this is Dr. Such and Such, and they got a degree in theology, and they have a PhD, and they went to seminary. Everybody that goes to seminary or not, everybody that goes to seminary do not love God. And they and do it because of a love for God and to gain knowledge. They go because they don't know God. They go because they heard that you can make a bunch of money as a pastor. And the more credentials you have, the better your chances. And that's where you get your wolves in sheep clothing. Because folks get all excited about the title, that they don't look at the character of the person. We got to look at character. And are they going to be a unifier or are they going to be a divider? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. This verse gives the reason for Paul's instruction to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep, Romans 12 and 15. Since we all belong to each other, we should desire the welfare of each other. And that is a word for today. We are one body in Christ, and we got to act like it. We got to cut all the foolishness that's going on in the churches these days. We are one body with many parts in Christ Jesus. And if we remember that, everything else falls into place. So I thank God for each and every one of you listening in this morning. As always, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And again, please keep her in your prayers as she travels. She's got a trip to make. And so we just ask God to watch over her, cover her and her family. As we all go through, they go through too. But we each other, and we are each other's brothers and sisters, and we ask for coverage over each other. And this is what our sister has to say today. Good morning. God has your answer. Seek him, and he will show you what you need to know he has good things for you, even in bad situations. Hallelujah. Have a Trust God Thursday. And how do we trust God? We trust God unified together in one body, knowing that we are all covered by the blood of Christ Jesus. So I thank you all. I praise God for you all. And I say give up on God, because God is not going to give up on you. For we have an able God, a great God, a mighty God, who is Alpha and who is Omega, and who wants us to be unified in the body. All your gifts that God has given you, use them for his glory. Use them for his honor. Use them for his kingdom. Keep God first in everything that you do, and watch him work in your life. I'm not going to say that you're not going to have trials. I'm not going to say you're not going to have tribulations. I'm not going to say that you don't have storms, because you will have all. You will have good times. You will have bad times. You will have downright ugly times in your life. But when you trust God, he will bring you through each and every one for his glory. And Dr. Stanley had one more thing to say, holy diversity. And he says, there is great diversity in the body of Christ. There are many parts and roles, but they all come together in Jesus. And that's where I'm going to leave it today. So I say all of my friends and family that listen in, I say to all of you that listen in from all over this world, thank you. I ask God to watch over you. And as we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other, in the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus. I pray over you and yours, for we are all one in Christ. We are all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And all he asks for us to do is to be unified in love, for a church unified is a church that can't be divided. For we are all one, and we should care about each other. And I say this again. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you go into a church and the Bible is not open, you look around and you don't see anybody with a Bible. You're the only one walking up in there with your Bible. And the person sitting next to you says, oh, you don't need that. Pack up and go. Because that is not of God. Because the Word of God is what we teach. The Word of God is what we preach. The Word of God is what we stand on. Keep God and his Word first in your life. And have a wonderful and blessed day, family. Have a sister girl and say a trusted in God Thursday. So trust God today. Have a blessed day. But it is a wrap on moving forward. Why? Because we got to what? Go to work. So go to work, y'all. Who do we work for? We work for God. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap. And join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time. And we will have our Old Testament word on tomorrow, and we will have a New Testament word on Sunday. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.